you have spent a lot of your life of scholarship and your passion also reconnecting Pentecostal Christians up with the rest of the history of the church. They're kind of the their family tree.
They are.
And I'd like for you to talk about that, about where this movement fits in what you understand as the large sweep of Christian history.
Right.
Where does this come down? What are the talk about the family tree, the branches of the you see this coming in.
Yeah, if you think about Christianity, I mean, you really are talking about two major streams of Christianity. There's an Eastern stream and a Western stream. Really, for the first millennium of the Christian existence, there was essentially one church. Now, that didn't mean that everybody was exactly the same in every location. There were differences based upon regional experiences and histories and so forth, and language and so forth. But there was a common church with a common table, if you would, where the Eucharist was celebrated, and everybody was recognized across the world that was in communion with, say, the Bishop of Rome. Okay, in the 11th century, there was a major split east and west, and the east became what we know as Orthodox today, and that, of course, has varieties of families, I think 26 of them. And then in the West, things became what we know as Roman and Catholic. That was fine until the 16th century, when things began to split apart in radical ways. First of all, with Luther in Germany. Secondly, I suppose, with the Anabaptists, and, well, Reformed, the Reformed folk in Switzerland and France, and
Calvin,
particular.
And Zwingli.
Calvin, that's correct, uh-huh. Zwingli. The Anabaptists, which follow them, which would be people like the Mennonites with Simon Menon up in the Netherlands and so forth. And then in England with the Anglican tradition, you know, I will have my English church. It will be a slightly modified church, but I will have an Anglicized church. Mm-hmm. And so those are the four kind of major streams that come out of the Reformation. Those, of course, all splinter in a variety of ways. And Pentecostalism can trace its movement from Catholicism through Anglicanism to the Methodist movement. And John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism, was always an Anglican.
He died understanding himself to be an Anglican,
yes, exactly.
Even though he started Methodism.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Methodism, of course, was named for a variety of methods that he developed along with a group of his friends. That talked about how to live the spiritual life, you know, when Methodism came to the United States, then it further fragmented. You have now the United Methodist Church, which is the kind of historic mainline that comes out of that. But you also have a whole range of denominations that might be associated with what we call the Wesleyan Holiness Movement. Mm-hmm. That was really developed out of the more conservative side of Methodism, especially camp meeting associations and so forth. That was very popular on the frontier. As the frontier moved west, you had all of these holiness groups emerging.
It's something that I think is so distinctive about the holiness movements that we don't necessarily have a cultural appreciation of is the strong emphasis on social justice. That the Seneca Falls meeting about women's suffrage was held in a holiness church.
Absolutely.
That these were the original abolitionists.
Yes, yes.
And that the Salvation Army is in fact a wing or an expression of the holiness movement.
That's correct, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I think we should be very proud of what the holiness movement has produced in the United States, but around the world as well. I mean, as you say, the Salvation Army, of course, had its origins in Britain, but, you know, they've gone everywhere. Mm-hmm, they probably haven't had as much success. They certainly haven't called it as much attention to themselves as Pentecostals have, who are their offspring.
Well, in some ways, this holiness movement itself, I guess now, is relatively small, the kind
it
of
is.
Formal expression of it. But Pentecostalism has kind of carried some of its seeds forward in a big way, I guess.
A lot of its seeds in many respects, uh-huh. Yes. I don't think that Pentecostals in the United States have done as good a job as the holiness movement did on the social justice issue. But they certainly have done things on issues related to race and women and so forth. So, mm-hmm. And also on compassionate ministries, I'd say.
Meaning?
If you go down to Skid Row in Los Angeles, there are a number of missions there, many of which are Pentecostal in their orientation. I mean, these are the folk that I just heard of another new one that's starting as of this week, in kind of Skid Row ministry. So.